The Gospel of John. I often connect First Genesis with First John and then the whole Gospel of John. If you want to say, so what is my life to be about? John's a good place to go. And as I tell biblical stories in congregations, I often just use those last few verses. Now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. I mean, think of all the other stories. But these things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life. You may have life in his name. That's the joy that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. So I love to tell the story and bring it alongside people's lives and let God do the work, because I can't possibly know all that every congregation is thinking, considering as I do my visits. I can't imagine what each person might be wrestling with or celebrating or longing for, but God knows. And we have these stories that help us along the way to reveal who Christ is. So we focus on the story, and we'll be coming back to this Pentecost story, although it's not the typical Acts story where the Spirit comes down like, and it looks kind of like tongues of fire. That's in Acts 2. But the Spirit also is sent here in John 20. And I'll be telling that story in just a little bit. So my name is Carla with a K, like Carla Kaufman also. And I've been called to serve with Mennonite Mission Network at this point in my life. And went to seminary in my midlife. Sure, it was a midlife crisis. I'll admit to that. Women in their 40s. It's time to sometimes wake up and be able to have the courage to say yes to some new things. And I did that. And wasn't even considering Mission Network. My passion is for Christian formation in the congregation. But over time, this is where I was called, and now I can visit congregations in many places and ask, who are you as a church? And how is it going? And where is God working? And those kinds of questions that make for a healthy congregation and healthy response to what God's doing in the world. That's what we're constantly doing, listening for what God is doing and responding, but always with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's a tall order. How do we know that it's what God is calling us to? That's our Christian work. That's ongoing work. Mennonite Mission Network does provide some resources for congregation, and Palmer Becker created this a few years ago. If you're trying to boil it down into a few phrases, it's helpful the way he ends up coming up with a summary. Not sure where the summary is in here, but it's basically, if you think about connecting with God, connecting with people, and then your work in the world, is Jesus is the center of our faith. Community is the center of our lives, and reconciliation is the center of our work in the world. Now, a critique of that shortcut version summary is, where's the Spirit? And actually, that question came in Sunday school this morning. So where's the Spirit? Well, we need to remember that it's everywhere. It is embedded in that, because it is not our work, but is this mysterious way of connecting to something beyond ourselves. That fosters this way of living, our Christian life, our continuing the work of Jesus as he showed us during his time here. So I'd like to testify this morning to the Spirit's work in the world, in our church, in my own life. So if I think about these three movements, let me tell you a few stories from Mission Network that connect to Jesus as a center of our faith, and then community as a center of our lives, and reconciliation as a center of our work. As you know, around the world, there are many people who are being displaced. The refugee numbers are high. Populations have always shifted, but we have a lot of displaced persons at this time. And Mennonite congregations throughout the world are receiving people into their congregations, are working at trauma healing, young children who, when there's an after-school program, it's not just coloring, it's working at trauma healing for what they've already experienced in their young lives. That would be an example of Quito Mennonite Church in Ecuador as they work with Colombian refugees. Refugees coming to Turkey, refugees coming to Spain, refugees coming into Europe. One particular example of the Spirit working, there were Syrian refugees who were Muslim, and traveling to Europe, they ended up being connected with the Mennonite churches in Germany. Many places, but this is one story of a place where people connected. Syrian refugees who found themselves in Germany, and these churches, in a sense, felt like they were getting pretty small, maybe had gone through a period of downturn, but now there's some new excitement happening. The Spirit is working in these congregations. They prepared themselves for welcoming the refugees, and when the refugees came, they did welcome them open arms. And the refugees said, "But why are Christians welcoming us?" That was unexpected for them. The other thing they said, again, this is the work of the Spirit. This is not anything that they made happen. As they were traveling, multiple refugees experienced this and then later told the story. As they were traveling, they heard this voice. When you face danger, look to Jesus. Now, Jesus is one of the prophets in Islam, so that's not completely unusual. But several people heard this, and then they were welcomed by Christians in Germany, and they were amazed. I think there's several pieces there. That's the work of the Spirit around the world, welcoming people who are all created in the image of God, interfaith dialogue, working at trauma healing, churches welcoming people, expanding their sense of welcome. That's very exciting, and I say that's the work of the Spirit. Community as a center of our lives. In a sense, this is quite an unusual story. In Laos, there's a couple working, and you won't find them online because they need to keep their presence off the web, because Christians are not allowed to worship publicly in Laos. And there's a couple there, Tayang and Kampha and Tayang Tang, T-E-N-G. They were from Laos. They've spent their adult lives in Canada and the U.S., and they were living well. But they knew they wanted to go back home and serve the church, the emerging church, and the underground church. The churches are hidden in Laos. So they went back to Laos, and people said, "Why would you leave the comforts of North America? We're called to be here," is what is their answer. So they are a very Spirit-filled couple in their ministry. They have gone from a room full of children to an entire school of children in 2 years, and the facility was donated to them by the community. They're working with underground churches. They travel extensively. They have a vehicle now, which was a gift from the Kidron Mennonite Church, kind of an unexpected way that those funds became available. Well, the vehicle also doubles as an ambulance. I mean, there are not other ways to get people to medical health. So they are the presence of Christ in any way they can be at all times, and God is working through them. In this recent example, right around this Easter time, one of the women in the Mennonite church became quite ill, and there was not medical facilities available, and she went into a coma. Now, this is where the story can get a little, I don't know, believable or unbelievable. You decide. The way that Kaiyang told it was she was gone. Or maybe she was in a coma. The church came around her and prayed. The community of believers gathered around her and prayed and kept praying. The second day, she came back, and her illnesses were gone. She was healed. The local community leader, which is the communist leader in that local town, is her son. So when he saw what had happened, he said, I need to know more. If this is the kind of God you are serving, tell me more. And then he said, and the church, I'll keep it quiet. I won't turn you in. It's okay for you to worship publicly. In fact, now they've started another church because they've had more freedom to do that. Wow. So the Spirit of God is moving and active. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't, but I would say it is there. Let's go now to the text, and again, listen for where the Spirit is touching your life today. So imagine being part of the disciples where you knew that Jesus was taken, he was crucified, and he's gone. Your leader is gone. That's the place that the disciples find themselves at in this story, in the first verses of the John 20, 19 to 23. The word disciples here actually is bigger than the 12. So this is more like the believers, the larger community of believers that are gathered here. So I'm going to tell the story standing out here in front. I've got to turn my other mic on.
Let's see.
There it goes. Got it on? I think it's on. Yeah. Oh, it's on red. What does that mean? Okay.
See where you find yourself in the story. And then I'll pause a bit and let you think about what part of the story seemed to speak to you, and then give you some time to reflect on that. Letting the Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday speak to you in the story. So here's the story. On the first day of the week, it was evening on the first day of the week, and the disciples, the door, okay. I got to start over. Got my words wrong. Yeah. We got to tell this story right. Okay. It was evening on that day. Okay. It was evening on that day, the first day of the week. And the doors to the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them. And then he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So consider what part of the story seemed to catch your attention. And how does that connect with your life? And then if you would like, you could name that out loud and I'll repeat so people can hear. Like, what part of that story is connecting for you? And you can keep quiet, or if you want to, you can name that to the group. You're noticing that movement from the fear and being behind locked doors to Jesus being able to come right in to that, to be able to penetrate that space. The doors were locked, but Jesus was able to come in. Yeah, Jesus is the one that brought that peace. He says something about even though he was the one that had been harmed. Yeah, he comes. He's not retaliating. He is the one bringing peace. Mm-hmm. So what is the story calling you toward? Think about what's catching your attention. Even in the next 2 days, what's that story making you want to do or become or be? Consider that for just a little bit. And then if you want to, you could name that out loud, or you can just carry that with you into the week. Yeah. Fear, that movement. Fear to peace, to forgiveness. You can imagine for yourself or for your congregation, like, so where are you? Are you hiding behind the locked doors? Have you noticed that Jesus has come? Have you been able to make the shift from the pain to joy? And all these things Jesus promised them. If you read John earlier, Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, you're going to be in pain, but I will bring you joy. So this short little story, he's fulfilling all of that. Their pain turns to joy. And he says, peace I give you, not as the world gives, but I will bring you peace. That's what he does. And then he sends the Spirit, which he says, I will send you an advocate who will remind you of what you know. And here he is. He did it. It's a summary of all that he promised in John. But it's up to us whether we accept that and whether we forgive or retain. Short story with a lot to say. In my own life, I think I've been at various places over time. 3 weeks ago, I was in my home congregation, Olive Mennonite Church, and I was preaching from the front, and I had been baptized right just a few steps from where I was preaching many years ago. I can't even do the math, 43 years ago. Baptized when I was almost 12. In that same space. But a lot of times in my life, I would have been at that behind locked doors, too afraid to step out and say yes to what God was doing in the world or say yes to what God was doing in my life. So it was helpful to remember back in that home congregation, when we were baptized, there were five of us that Sunday. The pastor said before we went out, we met in a, it was a Sunday school classroom, but it was right by the sanctuary, and that was the junior high room. We had been there, and he said, now, and this was in the 70s. Remember the Holy Spirit movement of the 70s? It made it into the Mennonite churches a little bit, some more than others. He said, now, when you're baptized, you might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you might talk in tongues, and we were like, oh, no, but he hadn't said that before. He only said that morning. And I remember thinking, oh, dear, what would that be like? So that wasn't something I was experienced with. But as I prepared to preach that Sunday, I had been praying that the Spirit would be present as I talked, and I thought, there it is. 50-some years later, I'm in the same place, and I'm listening for the Spirit. So maybe that's my way of saying the Spirit has now been present in my life. I'm ready to say that, where years ago I wouldn't have been able to say that. That was pretty cool. So as I'm visiting congregations, I got to tell you my waitress story, because it has to do with Carla with a K, which is, again, pretty cool. I was going to do a retreat in Illinois. And I took the tow road through Chicago, and I stopped at an Olive Garden, to do my kind of do some last minute work and get some supper. And as I was being seated, they said, "Well, Carla will be coming soon to your table." And I thought, I think they said Carla. And so I sat down, and a waitress came, and she introduced herself. And as Carlas do, we always say, "Is it with a C or a K?" Because it can go either way. And we're kind of particular about getting it right. Well, she was Carla with a K. So we kind of struck up a conversation. And she left and came back. And there's always this awkward moment, since I work for Mennonite Mission Network, when people say, "And what do you do?" I think, oh, like, what are they going to think about the word Mennonite? What are they going to think about the word mission? And I said, well, I'm preparing to lead a congregational retreat this weekend. Oh, she said, and it had a Celtic spirituality focus. So I had my notebook there with Celtic spirituality stuff on it. And she said, my faith is really important to me. And it's like she just kind of went on and gave me her testimony right there in Olive Garden.
She said, I was married, picked up on that, so something had happened. I was married for 28 years. I was a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, but now I'm here in Illinois. She's got a boyfriend, and you know, she's got kind of a new life now, and she's working at Olive Garden. And she proceeded to tell me that most of her life has been serving, like in waitress, service, but that she went back to school for nursing, and then she's working in hospice. And this happened with a few times of coming and going to the table. And then she said, at one of her visits, she said, okay, I've got your name written down here on my notepad. And she said, I put a few people's names there as I meet them, you know, over my shift, and I'll be praying for you as you get ready to lead your retreat. I thought, wow. And so, you know, I had my meal and my encounter, and I went on and led the retreat, and interesting. So a week later, I was in Indianapolis going to lead another retreat in southern Indiana, and I stopped to be with my daughter and her fiancé to help do some wedding planning, and we went out to eat lunch. The waitress came over and said, hi, I'm Carla. And my daughter looked at me like, Mom, don't ask her if it's with a C or a K, you know? She gave me the daughter look. Well, the waitress noticed that. And I didn't ask, and she came back and she said, are you Carla? Is your name Carla too? I said, yeah. And her name was with a C. And she said, yeah. She goes, I saw that look. But then the next thing she said was, she goes, I miss my mom. And we didn't talk a whole lot, but those few words, it was like telling me, cherish this time with your daughter. And I was like, yeah, okay. So, had our lunch. Didn't talk a lot to that Carla, but it was like, wow, yeah. Cherish this time with my daughter. So I went on down then to southern Indiana to lead the retreat, and I had supper by myself because I was there early, and then I was going to lead the retreat the next day. And Sam's was recommended to me. Sam's is a local place. It had great seafood. Went to Sam's. Waitress came over. And she just really was excellent waitress. She brought me little samples of things I didn't even order. Everything was delicious. And again, I had my notebook out. So what do? I said, well, I'm getting ready to lead a congregational retreat up at St. Francis Spirituality Center. It was a Catholic retreat center. Oh, she said, I love St. Francis's. She goes, my faith is really important to me. And then she's like telling me her whole story. She went to school at Earlham and got all A's. But somewhere there was a child that came into the picture. And so she spent the last 21 years working at Sam's and raising her daughter. Her name was Sam. Her name was Sam. She worked at Sam's, and her daughter's name was Sam. But as we were talking, so she was telling me, it's like, why are these people talking to me like this? Well, I would say I am not as judgmental as I used to be. I think I'm more open. So when I'm sitting there in the restaurant, I think there's an openness that has allowed these kind of conversations that only the Spirit, I think, can do that in my life, and it has opened up these amazing conversations. So Sam, at one point then, she came bursting around the corner. I was in like a booth, and she threw out her hands, and she goes, let's pray. This is in the restaurant. And I was like, okay. So I took her hands, and like she prayed for me, and I thought, well, I'm not going to pass this up, and so I prayed for her. And then remember how I said women often get a second chance or make a shift, 40, 50? All these waitresses, they were like 50-ish, very clearly. And some told me that without my asking. Others, I just knew. Well, so I prayed something about that you would say yes to, you know, what God is asking you to do next. And she let go, and she goes, I'm thinking about going back to school. I said, yes. Yeah, That was her next big thing. And it's like we affirmed each other. And she said, I will pray that the people that you are going to lead this retreat for, that they will be inspired. And wow, is God's Spirit at work in the world? Yes. If we only open ourselves up to receive it and to be available. So those are my three waitress stories. And I told some friends that, and so what was it, just ordinary? You think about just ordinary things that happened to us, or was there something more going on, something a little closer to God's work? Yeah, I think so. It was, they were witnessing to me of God's work in their lives. They encouraged me without my asking for it. There was something going on there. And the Spirit is working here at Jubilee Mennonite Church. The Spirit is working around the world through the Mennonite Church. And we only need to enter in and say yes. So I pray that as a church, you will continue to say yes to God, to notice those movements of the Spirit. And I bless you in that work.